Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. Open your Bibles, would you, to Genesis, the first chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's see, what's the date today? Today's the 12th, right? Valentine's Day is in a couple days. Hallelujah. Well, you're all our Valentines. That means we love you from our heart, and we do. And if you're married, then you do something special for your little Valentine. If she's not your Valentine and you're married to her, then something's wrong with you. You got to take care of your little Valentine. Treat her like a Valentine. Amen. Pastor Robin says amen, I know. So, guys, buy your wife something. Do something for her. If you got a girlfriend or whatever, then buy her something. Do something for her. Don't be stingy. You can just at least do something, a little something. A big old kiss. Somebody got me a huge Hershey's Kiss. It's huge. I mean, it looked like a basketball. You ever seen them? Look, I mean, it fit in a box. You could look like you put an NBA basketball in it, and it's about that big. So I'll be feasting on that for quite a while. But now do something for it. Don't be stingy. Don't say, well, you know, I already did something for you once this year. Hallelujah. Did you hear that line? It's my sister you're taking care of, you know. Hallelujah. Joe Foppy, you can't say I took you squirrel hunting once this year. What else you want? Well, maybe buy her some candy or something. My God, I took you squirrel hunting once. Could you imagine me taking Pastor Robin squirrel hunting? Me and Pastor Robin. So, all right. Now, what we're going to talk about today, well, you know, we've been talking about the plan of God for mankind, and in the past weeks, we focused on the end days, the plan of God for the last days, which we're in. But now we're going to focus on another aspect of the plan of God. It still relates to the last days in a measure, but generally this is an overall plan of God, that really what He intended from the beginning. And after we're done here today, there'll be some seeds of the Word of God planted in you that I hope you'll grab a hold of and not relinquish in the face of everything that will be contradictory to what we say here today. Because what we say here will be the truth, but you're going to face all kinds of winds and storms and gales that come against you in life, and it'll make the Word of God look untrue. I mean, Satan, that's his job, and he's on it 24/7, is to make the Word of God appear false. So what does the Bible tell us? We have and we walk by and we live by what? Faith. And faith what? Believes what you can't see. Faith puts its trust in what you can't see with your physical eye, but yet you know is so in your heart or your spirit. And so in the face of everything that looks opposite, you'll still have to believe these scriptures, because the scriptures are true, irregardless of what's happening in your life in any day, any minute, any freeze frame you want to take. These are still true, because God cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. But the plan of God for man from the beginning was to reign and have dominion in the earth. That was His plan. And when I say man, you understand, I mean what the Bible means when it says man. It means mankind. And so in Genesis, you got to go way back to the book of Genesis to find out what God originally intended for mankind. First chapter, 21st verse, we're just going to pick up there. You can read the whole thing if you want to. But it says, God created the sea monsters and everything living and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now notice, everything reproduces after its kind. Everything reproduces after its kind. You read this first chapter of Genesis and you will see that theme repeated over and over and over and over again in just this one chapter. Do you know why? Because God knew that Satan was going to perpetrate a lie somewhere down the road that man evolved from fish or swamp gas. We were not swamp gas. How many were not? Your ancestors were not swamp gas one day. And then that swamp gas just swirled around one day, and all of a sudden we started forming. You got to be stupid to believe that, number one. It takes more faith for me to believe that than just believe what the Word says. God made us. Believe that inanimate matter all of a sudden just became alive. No, I think I'll take what he said. But he said there everything reproduces after its kind. Well, that means that fish reproduce fish, and they stay fish. And birds reproduce birds after their kind. But there's more to than that, but that's important for what the day we live in. So it says, verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, look, after their kind. Notice he said it again, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind. Does anybody get it yet? What was he trying to tell us way back then? Don't believe that nonsense. Fish make fish. Dogs make dogs. Horses make horses. Swamp gas does not make people. Monkeys do not make people. People make people. And so he said, after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw it was good. And then God said, let us, now notice the Godhead is plural, way back in the book of Genesis. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right there. Let us make man in our image. I don't have time to teach on this, but you know there are people and they're Pentecostal denominations and they say that there's Jesus only and Jesus is the only member of the Godhead. And that all the other references in Scripture are all Jesus, and that he is the only member of the Godhead. And then the ones that appear to be otherwise in the Old Testament or the New are not really that. They're just talking about Jesus. But you notice here, it's very clear that the Scripture said that the Godhead said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, make man in our, well, that's more than one, isn't it? Image. So the doctrine of the Trinity in the New Testament, which is unveiled more clearly in the New Testament, is proven right there in the first book of the whole Bible. Let us make man in our image. Now notice, here's something that's not said in these words, but you know what's implied? Let us make man in our image according to our own likeness. What would you say there? What's God making? Something, listen to this carefully because this is the point of the message. God's making something here after its kind. Did you get that? It's not said explicitly there, but you can see he said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. Well, that goes right along with the rest of the theme of that book. We're going to make something that's after our kind. It's going to be just like us. It's going to be a stamp and a miniature or a duplicate of us. And then what did he tell him? Be beat down the rest of your life. Don't ever own anything. Let the devil stomp on you. And just hope that one day, by and by, heaven will make things better. No, that's not what he said. Notice what he said. Then let them, that is man, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You know when he creeps? Rule over them. Demons. And people used by demons. God created man, look, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and what? Subdue it, and rule over the fish and the birds and everything that moves on the earth. And then he goes on to describe the rest of creation there. Well, notice very clearly the Scripture tells what the purpose of man was to be a duplicate of God. And if you turn to Psalm 115, we've looked at this Scripture in Psalm 115 before, but look at it again in light of what we're talking about right here. Psalm 115. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Somebody said, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Well, it will only be temporary. Because then we're going to rule over the earth one day. We're supposed to now. Notice that was the instructions to Adam and to Eve. Rule over everything. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to who? Men. People. We're supposed to subdue and rule in this earth. Not the devil. Not the enemy. We are people. People of God. But you see there, and you turn to Psalm 8, since we're in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is replete with examples of God's will for human beings to rule. It's amazing that God has made us in our own image and likeness, and yet people think, well, we're not supposed to rule. We're supposed to be slaves our whole life. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're supposed to rule. You were designed to dominate. Circumstances, everything the enemy puts in front of you, you're designed to defeat. That was the purpose. You know, people act like that the Lord and the devil are equal matches for each other. Like Satan and the Lord, they're just so close to each other in their power and ability, as if it was a tussle for God. No, the devil is not even a match. It's not even. In fact, Jesus, under the New Testament, said that he casts out demons with the finger of God. Bleep. He just speaks the word. Bleep. And they go. And those demons, you ever notice that when they came before Jesus, they always said, I implore you by God, don't torment me. Well, they know that there's no equality there. And they know that man's rightful position is to rule and dominate, but yet they'll dominate you anyway. Even if you are designed for kingship, they'll rule you anyway if you let them. Psalm 8 is a prophetic psalm, of course. It's ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, but yet it has significance for you and me. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have you displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy, now look, and the revengeful cease. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've ordained, what is man that you take thought of him and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. Now, actually, some translations, I don't know if which one you may have, but they translate that some of them, you have made him a little lower than angels. The Hebrew word is Elohim, and it can be translated God or angels, but the reference here is obviously to the Lord, to God. You've made him, we just read in Genesis, all you have to do is read Genesis, that first chapter there. Let's make man in our image and in our likeness. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Plan for Man to Reign. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To trust.